हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, page 66, text 51. The Nine Material Principles. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, from whom the three worlds composed of earth, water, fire, air, ether, space, time, mind, and atmas appear, by whom they continue their existence, and within whom they enter at the time of universal destruction. Within the Vedic pantheon are millions of demigods, each controlling a different aspect of the material phenomena. According to this verse, Govinda is the Lord of them all, being the ultimate cause of their appearance, sustenance, and destruction. Okay. Therefore, it is also correct that all the elements and their deities are ultimately under the control of Govinda. Digdarshini Tika 551. So here he's talking about nine material elements. Right? So then, you have earth, water, fire, air, ether, that you have to have because that's what the gross, the dravya is actually made from, right? But then when you're talking about the linga sharir, or the subtle, instead of mentioning all of them, because they're all technically aspects of mind. They're their own individual elements, but they're all managed by mind. So if you say you have mind, then you have them. The mind has the senses, the sense objects, and therefore then sound, touch, smell, taste, everything. So that way 16 things fold up into the mind just on its own, then throw in false ego and intelligence, you have 18, so just by covering the one. Then time is what makes it move, and then the atmas, means unless the living entity's there, then what's the point of it? You know? Does that make sense? So like this, then Brahma then explains that it's nine. Mm-hmm. Like that, yes.
So what is meant by space? Isn't that ether?
Space, should be ether and space. So should be 1, 2, 5, space. Yeah, should be. Unless they're talking about the all-accommodating potency. Uh-huh. Like that. But ether is space. But the point being made by the Acharyas is that all these material elements, because they all have their controllers, they're all controlled by Krishna. That's the point that it comes back to. 52, Suryadev. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, by whose command the sun, the king of all planets, moves in the sky, determining the cycles of time. The sun, endowed with profuse heat and light, reveals the world through his light, gives sight to the eye, and is the personification of all the devatas. So just him himself is without that you don't have anything else. Because everybody can function because of time. He says the time. Yes.
Maharaj, so I wonder how is the Panchopasana worship corresponds with the five levels of consciousness? Is there any connection between them?
Yes. Means it would be that your shaktas are on the anamoy, like that. Ganesh and suryas are on the pranamoy. Ganapatyas means that you're...
Ganapatyas and
suryas. Yeah, and suryas. So suryas means you worship life. So it's very generic. Ganapatyas means a particular group of life. You know, you're worried about humans, you're worried about the animals, you're worried about the trees, You know, like let's say the greenies, they're Ganapatyas, but it's about the you know, the green nature. You know, I mean, they do also have, throw in animals, but it's there. So this has a little bit of that, or people just, you know, life and live life, and that will be the sauryas like that. Then Vishnu will be the Manamai, which is because they're worshipping Satya Narayan. The Satya Narayan, it's not actually, technically they're not, because they don't have an eternal concept of the form of the Lord, it's a temporary form. But he's in charge of goodness, so all duties, all everything, the maintenance. And then the I think Shiva is connected with the soul, meaning that Vijnanamoy, in that you're understand the difference between the body and spirit, like that.
So they don't cover five; they cover
four. Yeah, because it's a panchopasana, it's a material concept. It's only if you're worshiping Vishnu as the supreme. So that's why he's pointing it out here. Is all of these personalities, their origin is Govinda. So Govinda is the fifth. And even within the fifth, then all the aspects, Mahavishnu, Garbhodaksha, everybody else, he's the origin of them. So he's the cause of all causes. Like that. But, okay. Suryadeva is one of the functional deities within the scheme of Panchopasana. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura writes, certain professors of the Vedic religion worship the sun as Brahman. The sun is one of the hierarchy of the five gods. Some people target in heat the source of this world and therefore designate the sun, the only location of heat, as the root cause of the world. Notwithstanding all that may be said to the contrary, the sun is, after all, only the presiding deity of a sphere of the sum total of all mundane heat, and is hence a god exercising delegated authority. The sun performs a specific function of service, certainly by the command of Govinda. Brahma Samhita 552 purport. So the point is he means even if all life is sustained by him, it's just he's the one doing it. You know, it's just like, let's say you're in your house in the middle, you know, it's 50 degrees below, and so the, you know, the heater is on. And so the reason you're alive is because of the heater. Does that make the heater supreme? You know, so that's the kind of logic that he says certain professors are using. Like that. So the point is it's there, but the thing is he's doing that under the authority of the Lord. That's the real point. Now, whether... Well, how people want to fight over the little details, you know, that's another thing you could say without, you know, that you wouldn't dare. Someone else could say, no, but vayu, because if you can't, no air, you don't breathe. But someone else would say, well, but you're, you know, 80% made of water, so it's varuna. You know, so you could go on all day like that. Yes?
I'm just trying to understand. Panchopasana, is it like one form of worship, or everybody worships separately?
It's one group, but generally what they do is they choose. They may worship all five. I'm sure that whenever the festivals come up, but it may be that they are specifically in a certain line. Therefore, you have the Ganapatyas, the Sauryas, the Shaktas, the Shaivites, and the Vaishnavas. Because those who worship Vishnu, you know, in the mode of goodness, then they'll identify themselves as Vaishnavas. But technically, they're not. That's why we saw in, Tattvasandarbha? I think it was there, that they were dealt with, that they're not actually devotees. Like that, unless that was referencing somewhere else. But the thing is they're... that's why when we put the Goswamis... So we have two aspects of Goswamis. The Goswamis meaning the Gaudiya Goswamis, and then we also have the caste Goswamis, meaning the caste Brahmins, like that, the Smartas, who are Vaishnavas by their designation. Because they worship Vishnu, but they don't think his form is eternal. So they do all the rituals basically the same as what we would be doing. It may not have the Gaudiya flavor, but it'll have the particular Vedic flavor of, you know, getting up in the early morning pujas and bathings and festivals, and they'll do Janmashtami or whatever it is that are all these Vishnu worships, Ram Nomi. But the difficulty comes is because they don't think the form of the Lord is eternal, they're technically not devotees. Right? So, in other words, it's according to taste which of these five you worship. Because basically in their idea is that ultimately it all goes back to Brahman. So these are only, these Panchopasana technically are only effect, not cause. So cause is Brahman. Okay. Does that make sense? Though you will have those that they will think their cause.
Yeah.
You know, so then, but that's basically what you do. Okay, Jiva Goswami quotes a verse from Shruti as evidence. Bishashmad vata pavate bishodeti suryaha. The wind blows out of fear of the Lord. The sun rises out of fear of the Lord. Oh, okay. Yeah, Taittiriya Upanishad 2.8. Oh, that's what the bish is. Fear. Okay. Srila Jiva also adds, as the sun is the eye of the universal form, as the deity of the eye, it empowers the eyes of the individuals of the universe with sight. Quote, the sun is also called Chakshus, eye, because it is the eye of the universal form. Digdarshini Tika 5.52. With this verse, Brahma concludes the section describing the subordinate positions of the demigods. Because you don't need to describe all the demigods, you just describe these five, and then you've covered everybody else. And on a standard Vedic term, people will be satisfied. It's not that, oh, you know, why these five? No, this is the standard five. Like that. So generally you find those who follow the Vedic culture worship these five. So they're considered their supreme amongst the devatas. So if you've shown how they're connected to Krishna and they're subservient to Krishna and their position and power comes from Krishna, their authority comes from Krishna, then that means then, you know, the other 33 million you've taken care of. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. 53, the source of all power. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, by whom all acts of piety and sin, knowledge of liberation, all practices to attain liberation, as well as all living beings, including Brahma, insects, and birds, are endowed with particular potencies to produce particular effects. Is this the one in Indra Gopa? 53.
It's after the next one.
Oh, okay. Because it mentioned Brahma and insects. It says, you know, from Brahma down to the Indra Gopa.
That's the next one.
Well, that's the next one. Okay. We have learned up until now that Govinda is master of the demigods. Is there anything outside of his control? What then can be said of the powers existing in all other things? Their powers must arise from Govinda. Gita says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. I am the source of everything. Due to me, everything operates. Bhagavad Gita 10.8. From Brahma to the glowworm and all 84 lakh species in between. Any display of power is simply a glimmer of the Lord's energy. Every one of them is endowed with distinctive powers as individuals and is powerful in a particular sphere. Because right? Even these little Indra Gopas, you know, they can give you a really nasty fever and stuff, you know, or a stomach ache, or, you know, so they have special powers. You know? But these powers are by their nature not fully developed in them. The degree of power and nature of property vary according to the measure of manifestation of the possessions of the individual conferred upon him by Govinda. Brahma Samhita 5.53 purport. So whatever anybody has is still by Krishna's grace. Right? By karma, you follow God's laws, then according to which ones you follow, you get those benefits. Which ones you don't follow, that's where you get your losses. Right? So they come together. Sense, the conditioned living entity is not seeing the Lord. Right? So he simply sees I am the doer and I act. Now if he's pious, acts according to the Vedic rules, and does his best to follow those, then there'll be minimal mistakes. There'll always be mistakes, but there'll be minimal. So the primary element will be, piety. Right? But the point is even if you're so pious, someone else is always more pious. Right? like that, just whatever, you know, you're on your, you know, 50th time around in this lifetime in this particular area, but he's on his 600th, you know, so he's a little better than you, so he gets better results. So then, yeah. And so therefore, then these things are conferred upon the living entity. But the whole purpose is to take it the step forward that you're following God's laws to please the Lord rather than following God's laws for the benefit I'll get from it. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. Right? So that's where it switched by the association of devotees, the activity switches from pious into devotional. But the principle of following following the activities that please the Lord, that's the principle. Right? Does that make sense? So the flavor changes. It still rules. But now you're doing it because it pleases Krishna. Mm-hmm. So you don't see it as rules. You see it as means to please the Lord. Right? Yes?
So we preach devotion. We don't preach piety.
No, no. Because piety is already included. Like if it would be like this. If we preach prasad, is potatoes included?
Yes.
So that's the whole point.
Absolutely.
It's so piety is concluded because what do you offer to Krishna except piety?
Potatoes.
Potatoes. Piety. I'll take 5 kilos of the pious potato. Yeah. So then, what people don't know is when it was the Pope Pius. It was actually about potatoes. He was a potato farmer, but he only grew pious potatoes, therefore he was Pope Pius. Okay. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that even the process of elevation for the living entities, Varna Dharma, Ashrama Dharma, Tapasya, study of the Shruti, etc., bear fruit only by the Lord's mercy. So, that's the point, is that that's where the Jaimini falls short. Is I did it, I get the result. But the point is who set up the system? Do we set up the system? I did the work, I got to get the result. No, the Lord set it up. So therefore you do the work, if he's pleased, he'll give you the result. Generally, because it's a business deal, so you do the work, of course you get. But the point is it doesn't have to. You know, he doesn't have to deal with you. You know, you go into the shop, you pay the money, you get the goods, right? But if you have attitude, he doesn't have to sell it to you. You can tell you leave my shop. You know, so it still has that individual element, though, you know, it's basically mercenary, you know, from the part of the living entity. So what they do, they exactly get back. You know, it works. Mm-hmm. But that's the point: is he gives the results. They're not coming by something else. We're thinking, well, how does this come? And that's mystical, or it's ununderstandable. Just you please Krishna, you get. You don't please Krishna, you don't get. So we kind of see is that there's a specific kind of flavor that's being Lord Brahma is presenting here in the Bhagavatam, Narad Muni, the Acharyas, is that it's all about you please Krishna, then he reveals himself, things go well, whatever it is, even on the mundane plane, unless he's pleased, even your mundane intelligence can't function. So even the scientists trying to understand God by their mundane intelligence, the wranglings of the mind, still the ability to do that is still by Krishna's grace. Though you won't understand Krishna. So there's nothing that he's not involved in. So we don't look at it from the negative, we look at it from the positive. So then how can I connect myself and everything I'm connected with to Krishna? The first pot to come out. Yeah, I guess they were out before for the smoke pots, but no one thought about drinking. Okay, 54. Govinda favors his devotees. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, who bestows to the red beetle and to Indra their experience of happiness and distress as an appropriate response to their actions. Who completely destroys the karmic results for those who practice bhakti. The previous verse alluded to the great variety of living entities struggling in material existence. You know, are they doomed to suffer? So before it was about their positions and powers, right? Right, because position is the position of your existence, right? Your powers is what you can do. So what's left?
Ananda.
Ananda. So now this one's about their happiness and distress. Right? So then that covers this, is all three aspects. You say, okay, this one's deal with this, this one's deal with that, and then old Beasley, he's dealing with the last one, right? You know, no, Krishna deals with all of them. Right? Are they all doomed to suffer? Quote, the Supreme Lord should be regarded like the rain, which spreads showers everywhere. Thus the Lord is unprejudiced in dispensing appropriate karma to the jivas. But at the same time, Govinda favors his devotees. This is explained in this verse. I am equal to all living beings. I do not hate anyone, nor do I favor anyone. But those who worship me with devotion are in me, and I am them. Bhagavad Gita 9:29. But I carry the burden of supply and maintenance of those who desire constant association with me, and who, thinking only of me, worship only me. Bhagavad Gita 9:22. Right, so this is the difference we were talking before of sthanam and poshanam, right, that we're dealing with before. So sthanam means he equally deals with all living entities. Everybody gets the benefit of their work. But at the same time, is that the devotees, because they reciprocate with him, they get the benefit of that interaction. So they get that plus.
So poshanam is devotees.
Poshanam is just devotees.
Only.
Yeah. Well, sthanam is for everybody. Mm-hmm. He maintains the universe. That means he maintains all impartially, just like the rain is everywhere. But at the same time, it's because the devotees interact with him, he reciprocates. So as they surrender, he takes care. So it's not a partiality given to them that's not afforded to others. It's that anybody could do it, but they're not. You know, it's just like if we say, anybody who comes on Thursday morning at 6 o'clock and stands in line here, you know, we'll give them $100. So anybody could come, but is everybody coming? You know, so that's the whole point. So Krishna's thing is that he reciprocates with you as you surrender. So the living entities, all living entities he's interacting with, but because they're approaching him not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? He reciprocates them with that range of approaches from Anamoy to Pranamoy. I mean to Anandamoy. Mm-hmm. But only the devotees, then he deals with in Anandamoy as bhakti. Because Anandamoy can be just that situation in Brahman, in transcendence. Can be the spiritual is included there. So technically their consciousness is on level, some of them get up to that level. Most don't. Most never get beyond the material coverings, but a few can. Yes.
Being devoted means an intent.
In intent, yes.
So when we mixed with our intents, so some portion of Krishna's stomach, some portion of Krishna?
No, because Krishna takes care of anybody, but it's just that he takes care of you according to how you're surrendering. So in other words, if you're surrendering on the spiritual platform, then he takes care on that platform. If there's those elements in the material, then he takes care of it. But the difference is his taking care of the material facilities for those who are fully surrendered, then one, of course, it's always, you have the elements always beneficial, but things generally run more smoothly. Because there's nothing for them to learn from it. It's just various situations to remember the Lord. But for the mixed devotee, then there's things to be learned there. Because if one has a desire, Krishna will fulfill the desire, but he'll do it in such a way he removes the desire. Because he doesn't have to remove the desire for the pure devotee. Because it's already connected to him. So therefore it's just the pastime, unfolding the pastime, so that other living entities will, there'll be something to interact about. You know, otherwise, if there weren't any variety, then, you know, the Prabhupada Lilamrita, you know, might be one, you know, one chapter or something. You know. He was born, started to preach, took over the whole world, everyone surrendered, and like that, made the whole planet and all that, and everyone lived happily ever after. You know, it'd be one of those little dicky books that you read to the kids before they go to bed. Okay.
Good night, Maya.
Yeah. Good night, Maya. Yeah. I see. Yeah.
I was just thinking, on the point of sthanam and poshanam, of the six symptoms of surrender that right. are given in Hari Bhakti Vilas,
right.
one of them is protection and the other one is maintenance,
yes.
rakshishyati, like raksha versus the gopa. And so do you think that corresponds with the sthanam and poshanam?
Means you, yeah, you yeah. could say, because one is maintenance on that side, just means it's just taken care of, and the other is nourishment.
Right.
Because maintenance can be, it's just maintained.
Yeah.
And nourishment means what's, you know, is means it's beyond. It's something more. It's expanding. Because mm-hmm. the maintenance is just what it should be. It's just what's happening. You did uh-huh. this, you get that.
Yeah.
But nourishment can be beyond, because it's according to Krishna. He likes to give you more. He doesn't want, he thinks it won't be good, he'll give less. Mm-hmm. You know, so even if you're in a position of sthanam where you would get, Krishna might arrange you don't get, because it'll be better for you if you don't.
Yeah.
But later on, then he'll give.
But when it says that to have faith as the Lord as your maintainer and protector, and the maintainer is like the beginning level, and then
it is on one level. It means this end of it.
Yeah.
When we get into that end of it, then uh-huh. we'll see is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about maintenance means that as a maidservant of Krishna, that
yeah.
you'll have in one of the groves under the protection of Lalita, you'll have your own little kunj in which you can do your own bhajan and service when you're not out with the whole group, because everybody at night goes back and sleeps in their place or
right.
stays in their place.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's maintenance.
Mm.
Is that. That we're whatever Krishna arranges, we're kept maidservants. Whatever he arranges, that's what we have. So
mm-hmm.
it's not that we're demanding anything, but this is what will be there. That's maintenance.
Mm.
So that's the other end.
Pretty advanced.
Yeah. So that's what I said. In the last 3 years, we'll get into that side of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's in the Sharanagati prayer.
So. That's in I think in that yeah it's in his songs when he's dealing with the six symptoms of surrender.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the surrender.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what we're saying. If everything's expanding from Krishna, then that first, its fullest form of completeness is Braj. Then everything else is just expanding from that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So whatever is here is simply an expansion of there. That's why if you want to be there, then this process will carry you there, because it has the principles, but just in very, very minute elements.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that some reason? Yeah, so it's full.
God impartially induces the fallen souls to act in the way that is consequent on their deeds of their previous births, and to enjoy the fruition of their labors. But out of his great mercy to devotees, he purges out by the fire of ordeal the root of all karma, namely nescience and evil desires. Right, so you have that purging element. Right? So for the non-devotees, means they'll get the fire of ordeal as that side of their karma comes up. But it's not that it will remove nescience and evil desires. It will just be suffering for them. That's all. So that's the thing, is that the devotees are being nourished because you're removing what's bad and then cultivating the, you know, that devotion to the Lord. Karma, though without beginning, is still perishable. The karma of those who work with the hope of enjoying the fruits of their labors becomes everlasting and endless and is never destroyed. The function of sannyas is also a sort of karma befitting an ashram. It is not pleasant to Krishna when it aims at liberation, i.e. desire for emancipation. So that's your standard, what they will think sannyas is for, right? You give up everything in the world because basically you're too old to enjoy it anymore. So now you move on to those higher things of, yes, very renounced in that. You know, he doesn't eat fancy food. He couldn't digest it anyway. He doesn't have any money to buy any. So, you know, so but it works out good. You know, you can say, yes, you know, he's very renounced. You know, so, like that. You know. He's not interested in, you know, young ladies anymore, right? You know, because they wouldn't talk to him. You know, he wants to talk to the old wrinkle, right? You know, so... You know, so it appears that, you know, he can't maintain the money, can't even remember where he put it down, right? You know, so therefore he has nothing. You know, so on one sense it's there, but it you know, maintains the human dignity. So this sannyas is not pleasing to Krishna. What's pleasing is sannyas, meaning the principle is whatever you're doing, the result is for Krishna. Not I get the result, my result, and give it to Krishna. That's also nice, but that's mixed. But sannyas means that's pure, is where it's the intent, it's for Krishna. Mm-hmm. Like that. That pleases Krishna. Mm-hmm. And so that can be done anywhere. Right? So that's the function of sannyas. Right? It's also the sort of karma befitting an ashram, but it's also befitting all devotees. Mm-hmm. Like that. They also receive fruition of the karma, and even if it be disinterested, their karma ends in atma mamata, self-pleasure. But those who are pure devotees always serve Krishna by gratifying his senses, forsaking all attempts of karma and jnana, and being free from all desires save that of serving Krishna. Krishna has fully destroyed the karma, its desires and nescience of those devotees. It is a great wonder that Krishna, being impartial, is fully partial to his devotees. Brahma Samhita 5.54. Because he's impartial, meaning he's willing to interact with anybody on the topmost platform. But the principle is he'll deal with you how you deal with him. Right? So since we deal in nescience, you know, though we're approaching the Lord for material facility, he responds simply as, basically like that, as the modes of nature. Right? So just as karma, that's how we can see. So then, but because the devotees reciprocating on that affection, it's actually in line logically with what he said, but at the same time, it's in its own category, because being based on affection, then it appears that it's partial. He's fully partial, because that's where his affection lies. He's neutral with everybody, so he's nice to everybody. He's equal. Because when we say you should be equal to everybody, that is an impartial or impersonal concept. Partial is personal. Mm-hmm. 55. Devotees attain their swarup. Okay, so I guess that's the connection between from the top to the bottom. You know, Brahma down to the bug and Indra down to the bug. Is that now Brahma down to the bug? Now means is down is their position and power. So that fits everybody. And then Indra on down to the bug, because Indra on down, they're all trying to be happy here. From above Indra to Brahma, they're not trying to be happy here. They know that this is not the place, so they're trying to be happy there. So still, Krishna's reciprocating, but it's in another category. Mm-hmm. Right? But the material ananda that the jiva is looking for, that's from Indra on down. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Text 55. Devotees attain their swarup. Yam krodha kama sahaja pranayadi bhiti vatsalya moha guru gaura vasevya bhavaihi. Sanchintya tasya sadrishim tanu apurete govindam adi purusham tamaham vajami. You got to mention. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, the meditators of whom, by meditating upon him, under the sway of wrath, amorous passion, natural friendly love, fear, parental affection, delusion, reverence, and willing service, attain to bodily forms befitting the nature of their contemplation. Right? So we see here, it's still also subtle to gross. Though we're talking within the spiritual here. Right? That is that the mood is there, then the form comes. According to Jiva Goswami, this verse is Brahma's concluding exhortation. Exhortation?
It means urging.
Okay, to worship Krishna. Yeah. If Govinda gives results that others cannot give, even to his enemies, how much more he will give to his excellent devotees having no material desires, whose desires are focused only on Govinda. Therefore, who else is worthy of worship? Only Govinda should be worshipped. Thus Brahma says, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Vajami. With this, Brahma completes his praises with the last statement. Dikdarshini Tika 555. This verse is a description of the primary and secondary rasas experienced by devotees of the Lord. Sri Jiva says, quote, these devotees attain bodies similar to the Lord's to the extent that the form and qualities are suitable for their particular mood, end quote. The following table shows the Acharya's word-for-word explanation of this verse. Krodha, Raudra Ras, anger, one of the seven secondary rasas, footnote 26. These secondary emotions mentioned in this verse, fear, anger, delusion, support the primary rasas of affection and do not exist without the primary rasas. They appear only in devotees. The enemies of Krishna exhibit anger and fear of Krishna, but these are not accepted as true rasas by Srila Rupa Goswami, since they do not have a primary rasa with Krishna. Such fearful, quote, asuras like Shishupal, Kamsa, and pandits of the pantheistic school, end quote, attain only Sayujya Mukti. They are not awarded eternal forms like the devotees spoken of in this verse. So, in other words, if you only have secondary rasa with the Lord and no primary rasa, then you're not given a spiritual form. Because the rasa, the relationship on the personal platform is expressed through the five main forms, five main rasas. The secondary are supportive, just like Mother Jashoda sees Krishna, you know, in the coils of Kaliya, so therefore she's fearful. Right? But it's in support of her parental rasa. Right? So Prabhupada mentions in that second verse of Bhagavatam that in the material world generally you're dealing with the secondary rasas. So there isn't really much, it means the taste here in rasa is not so great. Yes.
Let's see, Bhishma, what's his primary?
I think he's Dasya. I know he's Dasya. Okay. Each ecstatic love and anger caused by Krishna is exhibited by... Oh, ecstatic love and anger caused by Krishna is exhibited by Lalita, Rohini, Jashoda, Nakula, and so on. Nectar Devotion, Chapter 47. Because right? There it's Krishna does something so Lalita gets upset. You know, or Jashoda, you know, with the he steals the butter and then breaks it and stews to the monkeys, so then, you know, your whole beginning of the, how you say, Damodar Lila takes place like that. So it's based on a primary rasa. Okay? So that's what he's saying is that enemies of Krishna, you know, exhibit anger and fear, you know, Kamsa and others. But it doesn't have a primary rasa. There's no appreciation, no servitorship, so therefore it doesn't come into... They don't get a spiritual form. Kama, madhurya rasa. Sahaja pranaya, natural affection, sakya rasa. Bhiti, bhayanaka rasa, fear, a secondary rasa. Vatsalya rasa. Moha, avyavichari bhava, operating only in conjunction with the principal sthayi bhavas. It is the state in which one forgets everything, caused when the Supreme Lord disappears from the vision of the devotee. Footnote 27. According to Srila Rupa Goswami, a blank or confused state of the mind, in internal inaction arising from joy, separation, fear, or lamentation is called moha. In this state, there is falling on the ground, absence of sense perceptions, wandering about, around, and inactivity. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2, 4, 92. Okay, so yeah. Because he explains all the... all the five aspects of the Bhava in the second ocean.
So, actually, we don't have an experience of spiritual or primal rasa in the material world. So we can learn them only by hearing about them?
Yeah. I mean, everything's revealed. In other words, there's some kind of... We have a... there's some touch, you can say, but it's not that it's situated there as the primary element. Just like, let's say you have a bunch of friends, right, and they sit around and laugh and joke, but the primary element is actually this hasya, not so much the friendship, because the friendship is shown as when something goes wrong. Are they there? Or only when there's a party and things are going great, then they're there. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't, the primary element isn't so well situated. If someone is following the Vedic culture, there'll be more of a understanding of this, more of an exposure to this. But still, because it's about yourself, that's why you're involved in it, the happiness you're getting, then it won't be on the level of what is in the spiritual world. Therefore, the example of gold and iron. So Krishna's interaction with the gopis, that's like gold, and interaction here is like iron. So then you're saying it's metal, but it's doesn't have that same position as the other. Yes.
It's interesting because the sakya rasa is translated here as sahaja, which is where we get the word sahajya. So it just means natural or spontaneous. So that means that the friendship, it doesn't come from any kind of external activity. You have to force it. It's just natural.
That's nice. Yeah. It naturally comes up. So that means they can just sit and do nothing and still be happy. You know, and then you add things to it, then it goes more. So that's, I can't remember. Was it some famous, I think it was back probably, you know, end of the 19th century. I think it's in that. It's two quite well-known or prominent personalities, you know, whatever they were, writers or this and that. And one of them, you know, was, you know, kind of in a disturbed state of mind. He went over to this other's house, the friend's house. So he was invited in. They sat down in their armchairs, and for 3 hours they didn't talk. They just sat. You know. And then after 3 hours, the person who had come over to the house got up and said, "Thank you very much. It was really nice." He greatly appreciated the, you know, the friendship. So then he, you know, went, but they said nothing. Yes.
Is this finished story?
I don't know. He probably asked them. You know, is that the Chinese? No, it's something. I thought it was England, but it may be finished.
Sounds like finished interaction.
Oh, now that's another thing. That's not, we're not talking about a whole country then. I'm talking about, yes. This was English.
There's that song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "When a Wind Will Let Devi Mind." Beautiful translation by Chaitanya. Just stunning translation. And different parts of it. You know, when the light of bodily power, you know, tears flowing from my eyes when I'm chanting the whole name.
Yes.
So, the prospect is there to enter into some sort of devotional feeling and, I don't know, a full-blown rati or rasa, that's something we read about a lot of us. But the part of the idea of chanting is that we're going to come to some stage where the heart softens and we start to experience devotional ecstasies.
Yes. But the point is why do you experience those ecstasies? As Emma says, that's the point. It's because we're absorbed in Krishna.
So that means, because we see it's all about Shuddha Nam. So if the name chanted purely, that means we're absorbed in Krishna. Then naturally those symptoms come. So that's how you can tell. You know, it's just like, you know, we're talking about in the kitchen, when will the potatoes soften and when will the sauce, you know, become, you know, nice and thick. And so what does that mean? I'm cooking. Does that make sense? It's not that you just have a pile of potatoes and they all go soft on their own.
Yeah, that one we don't like.
Oh, no, yes. that's more rubbery, isn't it?
Are we talking about pious or impious potatoes?
That's true, yes. Yeah. So those are the impious.
So in Hawaii, we have a group that's, you know, as you mentioned earlier, turns toward the sentimental side. Because they're leaning too much towards rasa, and not enough. They don't have the foundation for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one of their ideas is that you have to, you know, have subject. You have to have a goal in mind. You have to have you have to be aware of some subject. So, one of my godbrothers that I associate with there, he said, this when will that day be mine? That's a practical sadhya. You know,
yes.
Sudanam is a practical sadhya.
Yes, of course.
Whereas this other stuff is high in the sky.
Which is high in the sky. Oh, you mean that being able to chant the pure name, that's a goal.
That's a practical sadhya rather than sentimentally thinking you're trying to enter into some kind of sentiment.
No, but that's what this verse is about. I adore the primary Lord Govinda, the meditators of whom, by meditating upon him under the sway of wrath, amorous passion, natural friendly love, fear, parental affection, delusion, reverence, and willing service, attain to bodily forms befitting the nature of the contemplation. So if you're going to have a form that's always there, it means your contemplation has to always be that. So that means you have to always be remembering Krishna, never forgetting him. So that is the sadhya. And then one is doing that by chanting the pure name. So your goal is to always remember Krishna, never forget. And the process you're going to use is chanting in the association of devotees. So your situation is with the devotees. You're going to be chanting, hearing and chanting about Krishna. Right?
Yeah. Whereas the sahajas, they lean more towards smarana. They're trying to remember Krishna without the foundation of a proper understanding of atmatattva, properly attaining, getting out of the bodily conception. You can't approach this with your mundane-minded senses.
No, the point is it's easy because they just put themselves there. Their meditation is not on the pastimes. Their meditation is on themselves in the pastimes. That's why it's sahaja.
Huh. That's interesting.
Meditating upon the pastimes is fine, but how much time is someone meditating on the pastimes?
Okay.
That will come according to one's purity.
Right.
Sahajya means, the sahajas, they just meditate on the pastimes with themselves in it. I will do this, I will do that. No, it's about Rupa Goswami's doing this, Rati's doing that, all these like this. This is what's... But they only meditate on the pastime without knowing the philosophy. Then the difficulty comes is they won't really understand what Lalita is saying, or why Rupa did this or that, or they won't understand. I get a little bit of influence, but not really much.
Well, I've been told that if you try to force your way into Leela before you're purified, you're just going to mess.
Well, what would you do there? What would you do there? If you walked in on the Rasa dance right now, what would you do? So that's the point. Is that that's why you don't bother with that. You'll be invited.
Right.
When you're supposed to be there, they'll take you there. Not that you just show up there. So that's the whole point. I got a tough defense. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Guru Gaurava, also known as Gaurava Priti, this is a type of dasya in which one thinks of Krishna as one's superior or parent, or one identifies oneself as his son, such as the children in Dwarka. Sevya, dasya rasa. Jiva Goswami continues. It should be understood that those persons who spontaneously attain concentration on the Lord with a favorable mood, as mentioned in this Bhagavatam verse, attain much more than that than what the demons attain. And it should also be understood that those who constantly fix their minds on the Lord attain various forms according to the intensity of their concentration. Digdarshani Tika 555. So that's the point to catch, is that the meditation on the Lord is there, but demons are also fully meditating. Like that. So they only get one, they only get liberated because they're meditating on the Lord, but they're not actually as a person to interact, you know, favorably. So they're just basically meditating on his existence, right? That Krishna exists is Kamsa's problem. Krishna didn't exist, he'd be happier, right? So therefore they only obtain existence, which is the Brahman, the Sayuja, right? Because they deal in these favorable things of relationship, therefore they get the positions according to that. Yes?
Putana.
Putana. Didn't we discuss this one? Go ahead.
Forget. Because she had favorable energy before.
Yes.
Then she became a demon.
Then she became inimical, so then she took up that. So you had both of those aspects.
She got formed.
Yes, but because being killed by Krishna, she's purified. And in that purified state, it would go back to that affection for the Lord.
Oh, if she didn't have it beforehand, then she would
No, it wouldn't have happened. If she was just some lady demon who walked into Vrindavan, you wouldn't have got that. She would have just got Sayuja like the rest of them. But she had that devotion to the Lord. You know, that parental affection. Then, because of, you know, material attachment, then she got upset when her father was dealt with in a way she didn't like. So then she wanted to kill him. So she got the opportunity to be a mother and to try to kill Krishna. So then, as Krishna deals with the devotees, then he removed that improper attitude, you know. And then, being in that purified state, then she attained back to that devotional attitude. You know, that's why I said devotional service is never lost. Right? Does that make sense? So we can see here, it's not really offenses to Krishna that are a problem. It may get lost. You know, it's not that as Putana she was remembering that who she was and Krishna and all that. She, you know, took on that demoniac mentality. But the previous position wasn't lost. But you offend Vaishnavas, that's dangerous. Because everything's Krishna, so, you know, it's if Krishna was, if the offending Krishna was the major element, then, you know, everything we do, you know. So, like Ramanuja, when he walked up, what's that mountain called? You know, where Tirupati is?
Tirumala?
Tirumala. He went up on his knees. Because this mountain is non-different from the Lord of Sesha. Because the Lord's sitting on it, so that means the mountain's Ananta. So he went up on his knees.
Who did it?
Ramanujacharya. You know, so it took a little longer than others to get up there, right? So, like that. So the point to be is that is the demons, they get this. So those who have favorable get more. And then so to the intensity of that concentration is what one gets. So that's why we don't want to make up our own process, because who knows where we'll end up. You know, we want to follow in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, you know, in his recommendation of, you know, how the residents of Braja then serve the Lord in that pure, unalloyed devotion. That's the whole point. So we follow them. Then that intensity will get us into Braj. Otherwise, you know, you never know where we'll end up. A verse from Vedanta Sutra quoted to show the power of service to the Lord. Jagat Vyapara Varjam. Except for creating universes, the devotees all attain all other powers. Vedanta Sutra 4.4.17.
How is this connected?
Means by their concentration, what do they get? So except for creating universes, they attain all other powers.
Basically, you can become up to Lord Brahma, but Brahma can't create a universe. He's stuck in the universe.
You know, it'd be a little distracting. You're playing with Krishna and while you're talking, all these universes are coming out and stuff. You know, that one just doesn't happen. You know, don't catch that thread.
No, I understand.
You get it? It means, in other words, by your meditation, you get position, powers, you know, whatever it is, the particular form, situation, everything required for interacting with Krishna on that level. In other words, if you have that, let's say, motherly affection for Krishna, how do you express it? But being a mother means, how do you express it? But where do you take care? Yeah, okay, and then do you need some paraphernalia or just four walls and a floor? Ceiling are good, you know. But, you know, so the more paraphernalia, the better, right? You know, okay, so therefore, a 100-room house is Nanda Bhavan. Right? So that's what she has to take care of. Plus, she being the queen of Vrindavan, therefore all facilities of Vrindavan are at her disposal to use in Krishna's service through parental rasa. So that means her intensity of concentration is greater than anybody else in that rasa. Is that what you're... Yeah, because otherwise they're all together, because you Radharani's father, Vrishabhanu Maharaj, and you also have Govardhan Majumdar. These are the three, you could say, main cowherd men in Vrindavan. So they have their areas. So you have Nandagaon, Barshana, and then Javad. So these are the three seats. But of them, Nandababa is the senior. So he actually runs the whole place. But they have their places under him. So even here, as the king, then there's sub-kings under him. Like that. Does that make sense? So then, therefore she has influence throughout the whole area. Otherwise, how is it she can ask Jatila, who's in Govardhan Majumdar's, under his second, that she has her daughter come and cook for Krishna, because whatever she cooks, then is nectar, and that whoever eats it, then their life, health, and everything is maintained, right? Because she's the queen of Vrindavan. But when things go wrong, then Jatila will talk about going to a Govardhan Majumdar and then telling him about all the bad things Krishna is doing, and then they'll go to Kamsa, because they can't go directly, go to Kamsa, and then him being the king of the whole Mathura district, then he can come and chastise, you know, Nanda Baba and Krishna. You know, it never happens, but, you know, we talk about it a lot.
I think another connection is that a couple of verses ago it said that this worship destroys all your pious and impious results. And so what do you get instead if you have no good or bad karma? You get everything. You have anything you need to do your service. It's unlimited.
Yeah, so if you give up this, and you get that, and that's a lot better than this. You know, so except for creating universes, like we said, why not creating universes? You could say, but something so great, why shouldn't the devotees get it? But we've just went through chapters and chapters of discussion of this, and how much does it attract his attention? Right? How much is he interested? Right? Not at all. He does it because it's what needs to be done. Because the living entities want to deal with him, not on the devotional platform, so you have to create a whole new environment in which they can deal with you, not on the devotional platform. So the Tripada Vibhuti, then that's everybody's functioning on devotion according to this verse. But in the Ekapada Vibhuti, then they're not. So therefore, then he creates this, but it's not that it's, you know, an interest. So it'd be like saying, you get all the powers of, you know, how you say, the mayor, except for creating prisons. So would you miss that?
Yeah.
Yeah? But then that means you have to deal with those people. So here's, you only want to deal with Krishna and the pure devotees, so therefore then that would be a distraction. Yeah? Yes? No? Yeah. Otherwise, if you maintain that desire, then as the previous verses means that, you know, this whole book is about the person who had such desires, so therefore he's here. You know, so, so we want to avoid that one. Okay. Vedanta Sutra 4.4.17, except the devotees attain all of the powers. So that means Vedanta Sutra is giving all the essence, and it's the essence of the Upanishads. And the Upanishads is all the philosophy of the Veda. So that means the Veda talks about all this, mm-hmm. but it's just not seen. Mm-hmm. Narad Muni, he's the Muni who sees this from the Veda, right? Because he learned that from his father. Mm-hmm. Right? So then when he speaks that to the compiler of the Veda, then having compiled the Vedas, he didn't see it from that perspective. So then now seeing it from that perspective, now he's made Bhagavatam. Mm. Then it's like, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. Text 56, the Supreme Destination. Shri Akanta Kanta Paramapurusha Kalpataravo Druma Bhumi Chintamani Ganamayi Toyam Amritam Tathaganam Natyam Gamanamapi Vamsi Priyashaki Chidanandam Jyoti Paramapitadashvad Yamapicha Siyatrakshirabhi Shravati Surabhi Pyascha Sumahan Nimeshardhakyo Va Vrajatina Hi Yatrapi Samayaha Vajesweta Dvipam Tamahamiha Go Lokamitiyam Virantaste Shantah Chiti Viralachara Katipaye. I worship that transcendental seat known as Sweta Dvip, where as loving consorts, the Lakshmis and the unalloyed spiritual essence practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover. Where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, where the soil is the purpose gem, all water is nectar, every word is a song, every gate is a dance, the flute is the favorite attendant. Effulgence is full of transcendental bliss, and the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty. Where numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk, where there is eternal existence of transcendental time, who is ever present and without past or future, and hence is not subject to the quality of passing away even for the space of half a moment. That realm is known as Goloka only to a very few. Oh, okay, that was from the previous page. Yeah. Few self-realized souls in this world. The previous verse indicated how those antagonistic to Krishna merge into the undifferentiated region of the Parabhyoman, the impersonal Brahman. Where do their devotional counterparts go? This verse explains. To Sweta Dvipa, Sweta, pure, Dvipa, island. Just as Brahma's Govindam prayers begin with a portrayal of Krishna's planet, Chintamani Prakara Sadmashu, they end with a similar glorification. Jiva Goswami. Brahma has praised the Lord with verses, showing how Govinda is most worthy of worship. Now in two verses, he praises the planet belonging to him. Digdarshani Tika 5.56. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur summarizes. The sum and substance of it is that all the variegatedness of this mundane world and much more variety over and above the mundane are to be found in Goloka. The variety in the transcendental world is fully centralized, whereas in the mundane world it is not so, and hence productive of weal and woe. The centralized variety of Goloka is unalloyed and full of transcendental cognitive joy. Because there it's all about Krishna, while here it's not all about Krishna, it's all about ourselves. So then it'll be only, we're dealing with the world only in connection with ourselves. We only deal with that aspect that we can relate to. That will apply our values on the situation and gain from what we're looking for.
like that. The centralized variety of Goloka is unalloyed and full of transcendental cognitive joy. The Vedas and sadhus practicing devotion revealed by the Vedas, by availing the support of their individual cognitional aptitude, actuated by devotion, may have a sight of divine realm, and by the power of the grace of Krishna, their tiny cognitive facility or faculty, attaining the quality of infinitude, they are enabled to be on the level of the plane of enjoyments of Krishna. Brahma Samhita 5.56 purport. So, because the devotees are absorbed in the Lord, so their cognition is about the Lord, so even though our ability of cognition is very small, you know, what we can be conscious of is very small, but by connecting it to Krishna, then by His grace, then we can perceive the infinity. Right? It means we can perceive Him. Right? We're not absorbed in Brahman or like that. We're absorbed in Him, who is infinite. But as a person, then we are able to deal with Him. So it's by His grace. So then we can function on that platform of enjoyment that Krishna has. Because otherwise, if you're in the pastime, naturally, as Krishna is happy, you're happy. It's natural. Which means whatever situation you're in, you enjoy the interactions going on there. So it's by Krishna's grace, then you're able to appreciate and be in this transcendental place. What does the sight of this divine realm entail? Jiva Goswami explains the details. Because one, you have the aspect to be on the level of the plane of enjoyments of Krishna. So then that's where you can say is that then that's the beginning situation, is that we're back in the spiritual world, in Goloka, where Krishna's happiness is happening. So we're on that plane of existence. Now us to take part in that happiness means that we have to have that kind of concentration, that focus, so the intensity of the concentration, when it becomes complete, then we can take part in those activities that are dealing with that. Otherwise, we're just on that plane. In other words, we're in Braj. But when our concentration on Krishna becomes full, right, then we're able to take part in the pastimes to experience that happiness. Otherwise, we just are existing on the same plane. But the whole point of existing on that plane is so that we may come to that position of full absorption in Krishna. Mm-hmm. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Jiva Goswami explains the details. Shriya can only refer to the young women of Braja and not Lakshmi, since the gopis are well known in mantras and methods of meditation. Though these women are unlimited in number, Kanta, there is only one male lover. Kantaha, there's only Kantaha. By this, the superiority of Govinda over exalted Narayan and others' forms, Parma Purusha, is shown. Right? Because even though this unlimited Lakshmi is that he's the one lover. Right? While we generally see with Vishnu is then he's with Shribu and Nila. Right? You don't have the unlimited Lakshmis and that kind of element. Because you can say it's no, but then all the devis in Vaikuntha are all technically Lakshmis and all serving, but at night, who's he with? He's just with Lakshmi. He's not with all them. They go home with their husbands. Right? So Krishna, he's with all the gopis. Right? So that means his opulence, his position is greater. Next, the superiority of Govinda's abode over the other abodes is shown. And one could also say, but there is 16,108. You know, so here you're talking about unlimited. Next, the superiority of Govinda's abode over the other abodes is shown. All of the trees are celebrated as desire trees. Kalpa, Taravo, Drumaha. Because every single tree can bestow every possible desire. The earth, Bhumihi, is similar, Chintamani, Ganamayi. Of course, if the earth fulfills all desires, what can be said of things like the Kastuba jewel, since jewels are the essence of the earth? So,
every tree can give all desires, and it's a forest. Every speck of dust can give, you know, let alone the Kastuba gem. Right, you know, so like this. It's interesting is that this ends with, you know, a discussion on the specialness of the Lord's abode and the superiority of Goloka over the other realms. And then next year's this Amnaya Tattva Niryas then starts with, you know, the study of the different realms
mm-hmm.
all the way up. So it's kind of natural flows.
Yeah. I have a question about the jewel. Is it like in the Vaikuntha realm, then they see the opulence, whereas in Raj, they're just interested in the dust. That opulence is there.
The opulence is there, but it's about serving Krishna. So unless there's some point, like we said, if you had a wall in the garden and sticking out from the wall were, you know, carved parrots from emeralds that are so realistic that real parrots come and sit down next to them and start talking to them. Right? Then in Vaikuntha, it would be, see the opulence of the Lord, he's so great, he has these, you know, this kind of opulence. But in Braj, it's just something to laugh at. That's all. You know, it's just like the tiles of the roofs. That means, because, you know, tiles, you know, when you have the tiles, you know, they sit on top of each other, you know, and they're red. Right? Tiles are red.
Tiles,
you know, like,
yeah.
Like roses, you know, yeah.
The shingles on the roof.
Yeah, but they generally always, you know, when you use tile, they're red, right? So there, instead of using fire, you know, terracotta, there it's rubies. So it's ruby slabs that are carved to fit into each other and everything, and the roof is there. The columns are lapis lazuli. You know, and so we're talking about high roofs and big goshalas, so we're not talking about little dinky columns, we're talking about massive columns. You know, but it's just that the tiles are great, yeah, because, you know, red roofs are nice, so therefore, you know, when you do those kind of outside things, then, you know, so they're rubies, yeah, you know, of course. You know, so it's not like it's a big deal. It's a cow shed. So, yeah, so that's the thing, is that it adds to the rasa, but it's not a basis of the rasa. It's not that the majesty is the expression of your devotion is through majesty. Your devotion is just explained through that spontaneous love. So these aspects just add to that. You know, they're pleasant, nice additions. You know what I'm saying? It would be just like, let us say you have two very intimate friends. Okay, they're going to travel. You put them back in, you know, cattle car. You know, they're fine. You put them up in business, they'll be fine. You know, it just adds a little bit. You know, they can stretch out and joke about that, or, you know, stuff like that. You know, but let's say if they're not so much, then it would be the thing to talk about the business and all the different what you get there. And you understand that would be a basis for interaction. Because of the lack of intimacy. Does that make sense? Yeah. I guess it would be unfair to call it cattle class because you wouldn't fit any cattle in there anymore. It's too small. Have to find a different term. Yes?
The desire tree that. It's such a powerful image. I heard when I did that earlier on in the movement. And, it's interesting in this verse, it changes to purpose trees.
Purpose means it gives a result.
Right.
So desire means you desire something, it gives the result.
Right.
So purpose means that it gives that result. So therefore, it has that element.
Right.
Because from here, yeah, it just it's that's the term, the poetic term used in English would be desire tree.
We get from the desire tree, I believe, everyone's automatically fulfilled. You know, there's no want.
No, it means you can. Yeah, so therefore, they only go to the trees for, you know, fruits and flowers.
For Krishna.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah. The water is tasty like nectar. What then can be said of the taste of real nectar available there? Similarly, if the speaking is attractive like singing, how much more attractive will be the songs? Right? And if the walking is graceful, like dancing, how much more charming will be the dancing there? Right? So when someone dances, the effect of it is you know, very nice, because in other words, there's purpose. But there is, every step is for pleasing Krishna. So you get the benefit of that. Then if they dance, then that's even more. Right? So. The flute is considered the dearest friend because its pervasive sound announces his condition of joy to all people. Right? So you know where Krishna is, what he's doing, by his playing on the flute. So everybody likes to hear the flute. Right? The cowherd boys like to hear because that means Krishna's around. The gopis like to hear because Krishna's calling them. Cows like to hear because Krishna's calling them. And when he's calling the cows, then Mother Yashoda can hear. That means Krishna's home. You know, so everybody likes. The luminaries, like the sun and moon, are made of knowledge and bliss. Chiranandam Jyotih. Thus, the light is called supreme, param, because the moon in Goloka is eternally a full moon. Api indicates that this light reveals everything. All the pleasure, right? Because originally he was full, right? Only after he got cursed, then, you know, because it's important here, the aspect of time.
Yeah.
Like that, but in Goloka, time is, doesn't have that that importance.
Yeah. Up, rasa dance on Rasa Purnima. It's always on the full moon. Yeah. You can actually see at night.
Yeah. But there, every night can be Purnima. You know, so for flavor, there may be the adjustment, but you know, the element is always full.
Yeah.
Api indicates that this light reveals everything, all the pleasurable. Ashvadyam items are also full of knowledge and bliss, since they are made of the chit shakti of the Lord. Yeah, so they're all internal potency. Ocean, yes.
Chit, that's
something. In this case, I would think chit means sarup.
Yeah.
Means just means the Lord's. You know, transcendental potency. Then when you get specific, then chit will mean, chit, you know, means of samvit. So it can mean both. Because samvit, see, the aspect of samvit means the activities, the interaction. So therefore, that would be the natural place of position, depending when you're describing the whole energy. Right? But the point of those interactions is his pleasure. Therefore, Radharani is the personification of Fladini, though she is the chit shakti. She is the swarup shakti. But bringing out that aspect as opposed to Yogamaya, who's chit shakti, who brings out the facility, which would be more the sundi. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like that. But at the same time as they arrange the lila, therefore nila is also called lila. Right? So that aspect is they arrange the things, but then they're making the arrangements, right? But the lila itself is Krishna interacting with the devotees. So it's Vasudeva. Okay. Oceans of milk flow from the cows because the cows are absorbed in hearing the sound of Govinda's flute. The inhabitants of Goloka do not know time at all because they are absorbed in Govinda. Samaya na rajati. Time does not proceed for even half a second. Or the meaning can be the faults of time do not exist there. Right. So, therefore, they're so absorbed they don't. You know, there's no time passing at the same time as faults that come from time here. That something is lost or something is not attained. That doesn't happen there. Because at any moment you think of Krishna, you're with Krishna. So if you think about Krishna in the past, you're still thinking of Krishna. Your Krishna is present. And if you're thinking of him in the future, he's still there, present.
So that's one. Just want to say that time is always present there.
Yes. So there's no fault, so there's no past and future. So there's no creation and destruction. It's always there. It's a different entity there. You know, means we'll be able to relate to it. Thinking we're there, we deal here with it like
something.
Yeah, like that. It's because we think it's there. So we deal as if it's eternal and everything's going to go on forever. But it doesn't, so that's why we become frustrated. Because there, the time's not like that. You know, you don't lose everything with time. There, it just gets better. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur intimates that this verse also hints at the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a hidden meaning of the proposition, quote, even the supreme that is also nevertheless the object of enjoyment. Param api tad ashvamapa. Param api tad ashvad yamapi cha. The word param api indicates that Sri Krishna is the only truth absolute in all the transcendental blissful principles, and tadashvad yam api means his object of enjoyment. The glory of Radha's love for Krishna, the tasty quality, rasa of Krishna, that is realized by Radha, and the bliss of which Radha is conscious in the process of such realization. All these threefold bhavas, emotional entities, become available for enjoyment by Krishna when he attains his personality of Sri Gaurasundara. And so these three aspects, because you're always dealing with Govinda Gopinath Madan Mohan. So that's the element. So that's what she is realizing here. Right, the tasty quality, the bliss, and the process of such realization. Right, the tasty quality, right? That's the ananda of what is conscious, right? And then the process of such realization, the abhideya. Right. So those three aspects. So her attraction to Krishna, her interaction with Krishna, the love for Krishna. So because of that, that's why you see Govinda, Madan Mohan, Govinda and Govinda. Because she is attracted to Krishna, therefore Krishna then appears as Madan Mohan. Because she interacts, wants to interact, therefore he's Govinda. Because of her love, he's Govinda. So in other words, the forms of Krishna that we want to see are only seeable if there's Braja Radha. You won't see them anywhere else. Nowhere else in the spiritual world are they seeing that forms. They talk about them. Just like the in Dwarka, they're discussing the pastimes in Rohini is discussing the pastimes in Braj. But there we'll only see Dwarka Krishna. So they won't taste those. Right? It means they'll get something. Or in Vaikuntha, they're appreciating Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. But that aspect of Braja Krishna, they won't see.
You said before that because of Radha's desire, she manifests those things. Because she wishes to see.
I mean, she's the Swarup Shakti, so through her influence, that whole realm is there. Just like Krishna wanted to taste the mood of Radharani, she's the one that created Navadvipa. Mayapur is her arrangement. So that in that position he could taste. Yes.
Once I read in Prabhupada's books that Krishna is actually not so beautiful unless he's at the side of Radharani.
Yes. Yeah, that's that. He mentions that. Just like when Krishna Balaram. He's with him, so he's very happy in that. But if you move to the next altar, it's a whole different mood. Like that. Yes, he mentioned he's, you know, when it's like blooming. It's like the bud of a flower is you know, attractive. But it's when it blooms that it becomes attractive. So then, yes, that's true.
He attains his personality. Okay. It is also this that constitutes the transcendental bliss of the delicious, loving rasa, loving service manifested by Sri Gaurasundara, because he is tasting that those aspects. So that's the whole point is he's tasting these aspects that Radharani is tasting. This also eternally exists only in the self-same Svetadvipa. Right? So that aspect of Lord Chaitanya, he's also eternally there, tasting these aspects in Svetadvipa. Because you have Braj, but then Svetadvipa, you have that aspect where Lord Chaitanya is. So you're saying that that's a hidden element when it's talking about, because it's talking about Braj, but it also indicates, you know, Maya. Yes.
So this was explained in the beginning of the Brahma Samhita as Gokul within Goloka. This is the same place.
Yeah. So this would be Gokul, like that. But you can also say Goloka because that's the essence of the whole planet, because it's from there that Krishna goes to Mathura, goes to Dwarka. Right? So there he doesn't have to leave and go. Here he does that. But there it's already understood that he went there. So there then they have those flavors. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So because it's done here, you don't have to do it there.
Text 57 through 62, Dhamma Tattva, Krishna's spiritual abode. Brahma Samhita concludes by describing how bhakti can be practiced by performing worldly duties in the form of carrying out the commands of the Supreme Lord. Right, so then you go back, having explained these, then you go back and technically, okay, now how you can apply that. Right? You're going up through showing the whole process and getting up to what's the goal, then having understood that whole thing, now you can describe again the technical points of how you apply it. Does that make sense? So in other words, everything in the technical ways that is there from the first through ninth cantos that gets you to the tenth canto now is now explained, having understood the nine cantos and the tenth canto. Now, with that understanding, then 11th canto is presented. Does that make sense? So it's the same principle, just like in Gita. Then he explains the processes and then that goal of bhakti. So after describing the first 12 chapters, then the last chapters give that technical how you're going to apply that. Does that make sense? In other words, for someone going through, who's learning, they go through stages to get to the point where they understand the whole process. Then, having gotten to that, now you can explain that whole process to someone who understands it, you know, very specific for application. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
57. Sri Krishna responds to Brahma. Ato vacha mahavishnur bhagavantam prajapatim brahman mahatva vijnane praja sarge chachen matihi pancha shlokim imam vidyam vatsa datam nibodhame. On hearing these hymns containing the essence of the truth, the Supreme Lord Krishna said to Brahma, Brahma, if you experience the inclination to create offspring by being endowed with the real knowledge of the glory of Godhead, Listen, my beloved, from me to the science set forth in the following five shlokas. Footnote 28. In his translation, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur takes Krishna as the speaker of this verse. Some translators say it is Mahavishnu. Jiva Goswami does not comment on this, but by context, since Brahma heard the Krishna mantra and meditated on Krishna, Krishna would seem to be the speaker. Of course, Gavataksha Vishnu gave the instruction to Brahma to meditate so that he could speak at this point. Mahavishnu is speaking in this verse, then he is speaking on behalf of Krishna. For in the commentary in the last verse, Jiva Goswami calls him Purna Bhagavat Rupam, the complete form of Bhagavan, an expression reserved for Krishna. Because the point is, as you mentioned before, since each light is the same, each lamp is the same, it's just a matter of they're expanding because they're performing a certain quality. Therefore, be lost. You're not manifesting all the symptoms. But if you're dealing with that particular, manifestation of the Lord in that way as Krishna, then he'll reciprocate as Krishna, because he is Krishna. So therefore, even if it is Mahavishnu, he's dealing with him as Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Because the position may be that, but he'll reveal, just like we see with Gopa Kumar, that when after everybody left, who had problems with his spontaneous devotional attitude, then when he's just alone, then Vishnu came out in the garden himself and then got out his flute and started playing, and the cows were all there, and it was all happening. You know, so he is Krishna. The point is it's just like, let's say, you know, the high court judge is sitting, he comes in, the bailiff, you know, makes the announcement, everybody stands up, he comes in, sits down, you know, and then the bailiff says everyone can sit, they all sit. But then the judge then catches, you know, the eye of his, you know, let's say 8-year-old son sitting out there for something, you know, in the back, you know, waiting for when it's, you know, something's over so that they can go out for lunch or something. So at that moment, he may, just in a very reserved and quick way, just have a glance or a smile at the son. So who is he dealing with the son?
The father.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, he still is the father. It's just that now he's extended like this to take care of these official businesses. But it's not that he can't act as the father. So as Mahavishnu, or as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, it's not that he can't act as Krishna. It's just that he generally doesn't, because no one reciprocates with him that way. But Brahma is, so therefore he can deal that way. So that's why you don't have to say it is Krishna, because in any case you reciprocate with him that way. He manifests his mood as Krishna. You don't, then he remains as official as Mahavishnu. Hmm. Yes.
Is Krishna because of Srimati Radharani?
Yes, but if you're following that kind of mood, then it's that same Krishna. Is that?
Yeah.
Work?
I was just thinking of
the
chicken egg situation.
What
came first?
The chicken or the egg?
Yeah, well,
the chicken came first.
Krishna. Yeah.
Chickens lay eggs.
Yeah.
Prajapatis lay chickens.
Yeah.
So that solves the problem. The chicken is first.
Yeah. Krishna is the source of everything.
Hmm?
Yeah, Krishna is the source of everything.
Yeah, the Prajapatis go back to Brahma, Brahma back to Krishna. So.
Yeah.
Chickens back to Brahma. Chickens
can
go back to Krishna.
Yes. So in other words, who is first, the chicken or the egg? Vishnu. In this case, Krishna. Krishna is first.
Well, Krishna is Krishna because of Srimati Radharani.
Yes. So what's the problem? Brahma sees himself as a maidservant.
Yeah.
Therefore, of Radharani, therefore he has his vision of Gokul.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay. Jiva Goswami explains, having recited this prayer, Brahma then received the mercy of the Lord. Brahma receives the mercy in the form of instruction, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur adds. The Supreme Lord became propitious when Brahma with great eagerness chanted the names Krishna and Govinda, expressive of the form, attribute, and pastimes. Brahma was actuated by the desire for mundane creation. Krishna then said to Brahma how pure unalloyed devotion can be practiced by souls engaged in worldly occupations by combining the same with a desire for carrying out the behest of the Supreme Lord. Quote, the knowledge absolute is knowledge of the glory of Godhead. If you want to procreate offspring being endowed with such knowledge, listen attentively to the science of devotion that is contained in the following 5 shlokas. Right, so he's giving the essence within these 5 shlokas.
Who? Krishna or Brahma? Who speaks those 5 last verses?
Krishna. Like that. Krishna speaking this verse. Mm-hmm. Means Brahma's last verse was the Sri Akanta Kanta. Those 2 verses. So then starting with this one that we're on here, then that's Krishna speaking. So Brahma, through his realization, now spoke these prayers. Then Krishna being pleased, now Krishna speaks these 6 verses. He's speaking this one verse saying that since you want to create but you're absorbed in unalloyed devotion, this is now he's going to speak in five verses how to do that.
So it's before creation. It's in the beginning of Brahma's life?
Yes. No, this is after he does the Pasyon as his realizations.
Mm-hmm. And it happens only when Brahma is a devotee in this picture.
Like this, yeah, I would expect. Because otherwise, other than devotees, who's going to care? Right? You know what I'm saying? The CEO of Nabisco probably doesn't care.
But Brahma, for example, if he's not a devotee, still he's pious, he's not Vishnu.
Then you wouldn't be revealing Goloka. You would just point, you would understand how Vishnu is supreme.
Up to that point.
Yeah. That means it's because unless he has that aspect of pure unalloyed devotion, then you don't have to reveal. And even if he did, how many worry about it? Yeah. Okay, so then we'll start tomorrow with it. How many pages is that? Okay, so six pages then. Okay, so we should get to it in these next 2 days. Maybe tomorrow, maybe not. I mean, the afternoon, Thursday. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki.
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaur.
Krishna.